The gospel for today is found on page 794 in your pew Bible, and is from the gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning in the first verse, 1 through 9, and then again 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables. And he was saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then he said later, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but it endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lures of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, in another case 60, and in another case 30-fold. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Father, thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon your word, to experience your presence here together. We pray, Lord, that in our time together we might experience good soil. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Pastor Jeff is going to be beginning a sermon series for 9 Sundays, including this one, on the book of Romans. Has to be one of my favorite parts of the whole Bible, this Romans 8 passage that begins with those words, "There is therefore no condemnation." And Jeff is going to be looking at victory that we experience in the Spirit of God, and looking at different dimensions of that, one each Sunday in the coming Sundays, for 8 different dimensions. So Jeff is at a wedding of his niece, he and Chris, so I get the privilege of talking a little bit about these 3 passages today as some of the foundation for understanding how we can experience victory in the Lord. And the passages, I'll not speak about them in the order in which they're read, because the line of flow really is a little different. I'll start with a Matthew text, which talks about the problem we have with victory. It talks about our problem. Then we'll talk about the Isaiah text, which is God's word saying, "Hey, I got this problem thing dealt with. We're going to have victory over this thing." And then finally, the Romans text, in which the Apostle Paul says, now this is how the victory came about. Some exciting passages in Scripture. So let's begin with the problem one in Matthew. We've got Jesus talking to the crowd. Some of them are followers of his. Many of them may not be. Some of them are Pharisees and Sadducees who don't like him at all. He's got a mixed crowd there. And he's pointing out the condition we all live in. The world is a mess. The world's a mess. Started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Right? Adam and Eve said, well, all right. We get the tree of life, thank good, but this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if we've got that, we can make our own decisions. We can navigate this life really well. And we know what happened, right? Death came about. And, you know, all we've got to do is turn on the television on the news station and we can see the world's in a mess. And, of course, we don't have to look that far. We can look at our own lives. Yeah, there's a joke among people my age that whenever we get together, we haven't seen each other for a while, we start off with an organ recital, right? What's broken? What's hurt? What's not working that well? What organ isn't functioning well? And so we know well enough that not only in our lives, we're not perfect, we make mistakes, things happen, but things don't work the way they're supposed to. They don't... I've got a trip coming up to Colorado next Thursday of this week, and I've got my tickets all planned and you know, all the things set up for that. I've got a ride from Denver up to into the mountain place where the people are meeting from all over the country with the missionary group that I work with, and but I keep planning on what could go wrong, right? Because we know we just sit here and we think, well, you thought you had a ride to the airport, but, or then the, you know, it goes on and on. And we expect that kind of thing because it's part of life. But God has, from the very beginning, never left Adam and Eve and say, well, you bought into this thing, you're on your own. He never did that. He said, always, from the very beginning, I want to help you. Let me help you. And God met Adam and Eve and just down through. And so in this passage, Jesus is saying that God's word still comes to us to try to help us and guide us and help us live in this world and in bodies and minds that don't function quite like they should. And so, but he says we got troubles with that. You know, even with God's word, they're birds, right? He uses the analogy of a farmer, something all those people can understand. He said, you think you're spreading all, you got just the right amount of the seed, but birds are going to steal some of that stuff. And he said, you know, then you got rocky soil. It's thin. It comes up fine, but, you know, it's got no depth for roots. There's weeds that no matter how well you plan, they choke it out. And so you may get a good crop, you may not. But he said, when my seed, my word, falls on good soil, wow. He says, this is going to be this crop, you know, maybe 100-fold times as much as you planted, maybe 30 and so on. But Jesus never tells us in this passage what the good soil means. And so we hear a lot of sermons, and you may think I'm going to go there and say, are you good soil? And then we could go down a list. I could talk about myself. Am I good soil? Well, what does that mean? What do I do? What do I believe? How do I follow this and that? And he just didn't go there at all. And he just leaves it. And so, but in this passage in Isaiah, you know, that prophet is, you know, amazingly blessed by God. I mean, the Lord told him, and he prophesied the things about Jesus just amazing over and over and over and over again. And so in this passage that we read, I'm going to read it to you again. So Isaiah's looking ahead at what God's going to do. He's looking at you, me, our lives, our time, started with Jesus. And he said, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and don't return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. By the way, what's the word of God? What's the word of God? Say it out to me. What's his name? Yahweh. It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word of God. And so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. And that prophecy is all the way through Scripture. But again, Isaiah doesn't tell us just how it's going to work. So the passage today in Romans gets right to the point. First, it talks about that our condition, the fact that we're not perfect, things aren't the way they should be. God isn't in heaven saying, boy, you guys are going to pay. I am really unhappy with you. It says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in what? In Christ Jesus. For the law of the flesh, and he compares this idea of the flesh, and he's not talking about our skin and stuff, but this fallen human nature, the law of trying to get it right in the flesh, just couldn't save us. But the law of life in the Spirit of God sets us free. And so Paul goes on with these long run-on sentences that are kind of convoluted, but what he's going on to say is that the situation has changed. Jesus is the Word of God. It wasn't just words to us. He became a person, right? He died on the cross. He took our sins upon himself. So our sins are forgiven, whether we get it right or not. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences when we make bad decisions. We do things that are hurtful. We make mistakes. Those things can happen. But Scripture says God then works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But there's a radical change that is revealed here in Romans and throughout Scripture, but that Paul talks about it, and he talks about we've changed from a God out there and up there to a God in here. For the Spirit of Christ. So we talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the persons of the Trinity. And so that's why I'm wearing the flaming colors to go with this. It's not the season of Pentecost, but the text today is that God not only sent the Lord Jesus, but then the Lord Jesus sent us His very Spirit, His very life, His person. And the Apostle Paul is saying, when we live in Him and He leads in us, that's where we experience the victory. And we've been used to, not only all these years through human history, but a lot of times we think of God as up there and out there, right? And there is an up and out. He's everywhere. But Scripture says that where we meet Him that brings victory is right in here. Not because we've got it together, not because all the soil things, they're still going on, they still happen. But what makes you and me good soil? Jesus is in here. The very Spirit of God's in here. He dwells in our hearts. He lives within us. In this conference I'm going to in Colorado, I'm going to be leading a workshop, among others, but on discerning the will of God. And if you think about your life, my life, how are we used to kind of deciding on what does God want? What should we do? Well, an interesting question that the workshop kind of begins with is that the question we're asking? Or are we asking the question, well, what'll work best? Or how will I get my way? Or, right, we've all been there, right? And somebody says, what do you think God wants? And we think, oh, that's a good question. And then how do we figure that out? Well, we certainly would use the Bible. we'd know what are his principles, what has he taught, what is, you know, and so on and so forth. If how am I going to pay my bills? And I'm thinking one alternative is to steal. You know, you'd probably say, no, Tom, that's probably not what God wants. And he's clear about it in his word. So the process I'm going to be teaching about is St. Ignatius of Loyola, who lived a long, long time ago, started the Jesuits. He came up with a way. He says, you know, where we find out what God's will is, what he wants, how he leads us, in the heart. It's in here. And it was a radical thing for Christians, really, because when we prayed, when we asked, when we sought the Lord, we asked from somebody up there, somebody over there, and we listened for some sort of external message that would say, oh, Ignatius said, no, no, no. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. And he called it this sense of consolation, this sense of peace that passes understanding. So Lord, I got, you know, maybe it's do I fly Southwest Airlines or United? I mean, that's not a big deal, right? But, you know, well, he'd say, well, think about it with God. And see what you feel inside. Pay attention to it. And then ask the Lord to confirm it inside. We still live in a world, and in many ways, churches that are trying to live as good soil with an outside God. It's not that we're not saved. It's not that we don't believe. But we've just been brought up in a world that every religion, every tribe and nation believes in a God out there, over there, someplace else. And there is in all of human history only one God who has come to us as a person and then offered himself to live within us. His name is Jesus. And so we look from within. So as we look for God and we look, how do I live as good soil? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to live in a way that is right with God. We want to live in ways that are blessings for other people. We want to do the things that work best. And so I brought this analogy. Okay, now, it's a light, right? And so if I tried to make the light shine with this flashlight, what do you think? Not a good idea. Because where's the power that's going to enable to make this lamp function? It's on the inside, right? Okay, the switch. Can you see it? There really is a light in there. Okay. So if I came up and I said, you know, well, this light doesn't work, and, you know, I banged on it and I changed the bulb and so on and so forth, and then I got out maybe a brighter flashlight would help, you'd say, Tom, turn on the switch. Allow the power that is already within it to flow. Right? Now, we live in a neat age because we have lives that are full of analogies like that. In Jesus' time, if you wanted to get this load of hay from point A to point B, you manually loaded it on some sort of cart or carried it physically. You had to do the work, right? But we live in an age where we can push a switch. There's often power, so when you and I leave here and we head home, how many of you walked? Maybe could have, but we don't today. So you're going to do what? You're going to turn on a switch, either turn a key or push a button, that releases the power that's already available in your car that's going to enable you to drive home. What a neat analogy for the way being good soil works. We say, yeah, to Jesus. Help me, Lord. Open it up. Guide me. It's just a word. It doesn't have to be. So I'd like to suggest for you, so we need a transformation in the way we look at God. And as you and I go about our daily life and so on, have we gotten in the habit of living with an external God that we believe in? I mean, that's not the issue. But in which we can live as good soil and live victorious lives. So how many switches do you think you have in your house and in your car? There are hundreds, probably. And so I'm going to dedicate right now for your house, your car, every one of those switches as a loving reminder to switch on the relationship with God. So when you go in and you push the garage door opener, you say, thank you, Lord. That's all you have to do. When you get in and turn the key, you smile. When you put it in gear and back up and on it goes, every switch you touch, let it be a reminder that you live with an inside God who loves you to pieces, who has given his only begotten Son to give you victory in life, not only in this world, but forever and ever and ever. He'll never force himself on you. He'll never manipulate you. He'll never push you or try to control you. But like Jesus is talking about with the seed, he invites you and me. We just have to remember. Just have to remember. So I'm going to close by reading the rest of that chapter, that amazing chapter in Isaiah. So he gives the promise. Now listen to what he says is going to happen. And this is about you, okay? For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. All of creation celebrates when the children of God say, yes, Lord, on the inside. Amen.